Our nation was founded on the principle that all men are created equal. And from the earliest days of the United States, religion has played an important part in the quest for equity. An exhibition at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center called Faith and Injustice traces that struggle and the role the country's three largest religions have played. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about the exhibition and the complicated role religion has played in our nation's social justice movements are National Underground Railroad Freedom Center curator, Stephanie Lampkin. Welcome, Dr. Lampkin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Christian Theological Seminary Professor Emeritus Raymond Somerville. Thanks for being here, Dr. Somerville.
Thanks for having me.
And Executive Director Emeritus of the Jacob Rader Marcus Center of the American Jewish Archives, Rabbi Gary Zola. Thanks for being here, Dr. Zola.
It's a pleasure.
Dr. Lampkin, what was the inspiration for this exhibition?
We started with the idea of thinking about the role of Christianity in the Black church. And then as conversations continued and we pulled in local partners and community members and scholars, we expanded that scope to really think about the three religions that are within the focus of this exhibition, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Because as it turns out, there are so many cross-sections within those religions that speak to some of the social justice issues that we wanted to capture in the exhibition. And so it really kind of blossomed from there. The exhibition really is designed to have visitors think through questions and, you know, the larger connections that we can make across these belief systems. And so we are really thrilled to be able to premiere this exhibition at the Freedom Center.
Let's talk about some of the artifacts that are included. Dr. Somerville, what, when you think about those artifacts, what's your favorite and why?
Well, there are so many artifacts that are really intriguing historically, theologically, morally. I guess one that we really made a big push to acquire was the slave Bible. And because it was basically a King James Bible that was edited and curated to exclude any references to slavery or justice or social justice during the time in which our country engaged in the practice of slavery. And I thought that this was a tremendous acquisition. Dr. Lampkin was really helpful in acquiring this slave Bible. So we have an actual Bible. We have, in fact, a number of Bibles throughout the exhibit. But this is one that captured my attention for another reason was that we acquired it from a historically Black university in Nashville, Fisk University, where I got my first teaching job as a graduate student. And during that time in the 90s, I did not even know that this slave Bible was a part of their archives. I'm glad we are able to now showcase it and let people read through it because the Bible and many sacred texts have provided the basis for a lot of social justice initiatives coming out of these three religions.
And as I understand it, this Bible is a copy of a Bible that had been handed out by Christian plantation owners to people
yes.
they enslaved, but it removed any references to freedom or anything that might inspire people who were enslaved to seek or inspire them further. Surely they were inspired already, but any references to that freedom. How important, Dr. Lampkin, was it to have that as part of this exhibition?
The exhibition does feature a number of artifacts. But for that particular one, we did borrow that through Fisk University, a copy of the Slave Bible. So that is also being paired with other religious texts. So we are also, the Arab American Museum lent us a copy of the Quran. We also partnered with the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library for a reproduction of the Gutenberg Bible, which is also displayed in this exhibition. But we've also reached out to partners, you know, smaller nonprofit organizations, for example, Green Ramadan, for materials that they share within their community. A reusable iftar kit, for example, is one of the items on display in our section within environmental justice. And so as we tackle each of these different areas, economic justice, environmental justice, human dignity, gender and LGBTQ+, within this context of religion and social justice, you'll see a few items highlighted that really tell the story of the ways that people within their community are thinking about religion, whether that is as inspiration for change or a tool to justify oppression, such as the Slave Bible is an example of that.
And Dr. Zola, as I understand, near that Bible, there is a display that highlights Christian leaders who advocated for the end of slavery. There's this kind of contradiction, religion being used in both these ways. How important was that to have that as part of this exhibition?
I think that one of the most amazing parts of this exhibit is that it really, from the beginning, those of us on the advisory committee, we wanted to try not to whitewash the story and it seemed like, you know, religion has always been a force for good. We wanted to tell both sides. And this is not an easy thing to do. It really is, especially when you're dealing with three different religions. And I really want to commend those who put the exhibit together because they've done a very sensitive yet truthful telling. And yes, that's part of the story is that they tell the story in this exhibit of, for example, rabbis who courageously speak out against slavery in America, but then they talk about rabbis who argue that, well, there's slavery in the Bible. And so how could it be something that's wrong? The same is true, of course, of Christian clergy and also people of color who own slaves and so forth. So all these stories are told. Lucy, I wanted to go back to, you know, your question about the Bible, because there's something also in this collection that I have seen the original of, and I was so thrilled to see it, and that is a facsimile, and Dr. Lampkin can talk about how she obtained it, but we have a facsimile available of the Jefferson Bible. Now, a lot of people don't know a thing about this, but every citizen who is in driving shot of the Freedom Center ought to come down and see the facsimile of the Jefferson Bible. It's as interesting as the Slave Bible. People don't know that our president, Thomas Jefferson, took a New Testament and an Old Testament, you know, the Bible, and what he did literally was he took a scissors to it and he cut out all those parts that he felt were supernatural, were what he considered to be extraneous to the moral center of the Bible, so that all that remains is just the morality of the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament and miracles and parts that would run against our moral code today. He just snipped out. And this was part of nobody really knew this existed until much later in the 19th century, maybe 40, 50 years after he died, because it was kept in the family. Eventually, it became public, and it's a great opportunity to see this because, you see, he cut out all of these parts, the third president. Here he was a slave owner himself, and yet, as we know, he wrote these unbelievable words, you know, all are created equal and so forth. There's many wonderful things to see in this collection.
Dr. Lampkin, what are you hoping that illustrates for people, that facsimile of the Jefferson Bible?
Just like many of the artifacts that you're going to see in this show, really to demonstrate the tension, right, between what is written in these texts and the way that the individual chooses to interpret them. And so within this exhibition, featured in our area on gender, LGBTQ+, is a great example of a number of texts that are various interpretations of the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah. Some of them are specific to the roles of women in these texts. Mm-hmm. Some are highlighting, you know, the experience of LGBTQ. So it's very much demonstrates what we hope people will take from this exhibition, is that you do see tension between what is written in the text and how it gets interpreted, and therefore how it informs the individual in how they choose to live their life, but also the actions they take when it comes to issues around human dignity. You know, we talked about enslavement and, you know, abolition in this exhibition as well, and where that tension lies between who is, you know, seeking justice and fighting for justice, and who may be on the opposite end of that, may be challenging that.
We're talking about the role of religion in our nation's social justice movements and an exhibition at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center that explores that history. Dr. Zola, we've talked about how three scholars worked on this, each from one of the religions that is being represented. You know, there can be, you made reference to this, there can be tension among those religions. Can you talk about that experience, having three distinguished scholars from these different religions coming together and navigating what can be a bit of a minefield?
Actually, it was for me personally a very uplifting experience, because this, you know, I don't think I'm saying anything that's a surprise to anybody when I say that we're living at a time when there's a great deal of tension in modern society and difficulties. I would double check my pulse with Dr. Somerville, but my sense is that we were focused on our project. We worked well together. We all were after the same thing, which is the truth and earnestness. Dr. Farouk, who is a member of the faculty at the University of Cincinnati, we worked very well together. Mostly, of course, we were focused on our own expertise, our own areas of expertise. But the point is, we were collaborating on our calls and our meetings together. And I thought that was a very uplifting and healthy contra stream to that which is going on in society in general. I think, you know, it's not a secret. The more we work together on areas of mutual interest and concern, the better off we'll be in society.
This was a project in interfaith cooperation and hospitality from the beginning, that we welcome persons of all representing all of these faiths, and we even had people of non-faith who contributed and asked questions, and so this was an example of how to engage in interreligious hospitality and scholarship, telling the truth. And there were several times when we had to correct one another in terms of, you know, how we told the story, somebody else's story, and interpreted another faith's scriptures. And so, but that was something that we welcomed and we encouraged along the way, that we engage truthfully, honestly, and very humbly in terms of telling a fuller story than what has been told.
We've talked about the historical artifacts that are part of this exhibition, but Dr. Lampkin, you've also referenced a number of social justice issues that are still very much a work in progress. Talk a little bit about how this exhibition addresses the struggles of today and the role religion continues to play.
Absolutely. Well, I think our visitors will really get a chance to see that through some of the interactives that are in this exhibition. And we made it a point to feature community members who are active in their faith and also talk about social justice in their work. And so when you walk into the exhibition, the introductory video does just that. It kind of grounds you in the question of whether religion has a place in social justice and vice versa. And you'll hear from community members their perspective on that. And visitors will also have a chance to share their own thoughts and feelings on key social justice issues and where they can take a pledge to make change in their community. Really, we want people in this exhibition to really spark dialogue with each other and kind of think through their values and belief systems and whether they align, if they see alignment with economic justice, for example. And if they do, they have an opportunity to speak out on that issue through our Table Talk Interactive, where it's literally a table with chairs and you can sit with others who have joined you in the exhibition. And there are prompts written on the table and that ask you, you know, what would it look like for, you know, what would it mean for us to live in a society that's the number of issues that we address in the exhibition, whether it's, you know, access to healthcare or clean water.
You know, you just raised a point, Dr. Lamkin, this video that asks people, should religion be involved in social justice movements? And Dr. Zola, considering the kind of conflicting roles that religions have played, sometimes acting in a way to try to give people freedom, other times working to oppress people, what's the answer there? Do you think religion has a role in this? I mean, I think you could kind of argue it both ways.
And it is being argued both ways today. You know, there you go into some synagogues, churches, and mosques, and the congregation will say to the leaders, stay away from quote-unquote politics, right? You know, I didn't come to church or I didn't come to the synagogue to listen to you talk to me about politics. But the question is, of course, are the questions we're dealing with, meaning poverty, equal opportunity, are those not religious issues? I mean, doesn't Isaiah say, you know, you have to care for the widow and the poor and so forth? So it is an issue, and it is there are disagreements. You know, on the one hand, in America, we have religious people who would like to impose their own view of their religion on society at large. And then there's another group that, of course, will resist that. What I think is interesting about this, Lucy, this exhibit, is if at the bottom of it all is an effort to make America live up to the noble ideas that are enshrined in our founding documents. Because when you look at it, whether you're looking at slavery, whether you're looking at the contemporary justice issues that were mentioned by Dr. Lamkin, what you see is that it's not about, well, I'm doing this just because I'm worried about Jewish people or Christian people. These issues are being addressed for that will benefit all people. So, in other words, when a minority speaks out for a minority issue, by preserving minority rights, you, in a sense, are protecting all minorities. And you see this at the bottom of it all throughout the exhibit. So it's I think it's an inspiring exhibit that's done very well, and I hope people will come out to see it and support it.
Dr. Somerville, should religion be involved in these social justice issues?
Absolutely. Has it? Absolutely. Will it continue? Absolutely. I think. And what we are doing in this exhibit is basically exposing and shining a light on how religion has been involved in political movements, social justice movements throughout our history. There was a time, I recall, in the 70s and 80s that scholars of religion were thinking that religious influence, religious affiliation was critically waning, and that we would get to a point where secularization would be the norm, and that religious people would be pushed to the margins and to their private silos. That hasn't been the case. In fact, there is a resurgence of religions, in many ways, and even in the broader public, in the public, public advocacy, political involvement, religions and religious leaders are making their voices known. And so this is a good thing for our country. And I don't think the founding fathers, including Jefferson, even though he had some really prescribed views on religion, I don't think even in his understanding of the separation of church and state that he ever envisioned that religion would entirely disappear or dissipate from our republic.
You know, speaking of Jefferson, I love this. This is, you know, people can find this document I'm about to mention on Google. It's been published by the National Archives. In the year 1820, there was a synagogue that was dedicated mm-hmm. in Savannah. And the man who gave the dedicatory address wrote and sent the copy of his address to President Jefferson. And Jefferson mm-hmm. responds to this. And in this letter, this is what Jefferson writes. He congratulates the man and in the synagogue on being dedicated. And then he says, "I've always believed that in matters relating to religion, our nation will," he says, in matters relating to religion, "divided we stand, united we fall." And of course, what he means by that is that if we allow all the different religious traditions to flourish in America, then we'll stand as a nation. And that if we try to compel everyone on the matters of religion to be unified, we'll fall.
Well, this exhibit, Faith and Injustice, and the "in" is in parentheses, will be on display at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center through December 7th. I've been talking with National Underground Railroad Freedom Center curator Stephanie Lampkin, Christian Theological Seminary Professor Emeritus for Church History Raymond Somerville, and Executive Director Emeritus of the Jacob Rader Marcus Center of the American Jewish Archives, Rabbi Gary Zola. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll discuss Juneteenth holiday recipes. This is Cincinnati Edition.